Yeah, baby, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that rocks the local comic book shop. We're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRiglia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, professor at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And Chris, you started the new year off with a swinger.
You like that one? That was them. Of course, we're going to do a little bit of the Krantz this week. We're getting a little bit more into other stuff, but that is, of course, from the 1960s Spider-Man cartoon.
There's nothing better.
There really isn't.
There really is nothing better.
No.
Chris, let's welcome each other, I guess.
Welcome, yeah.
To 2019 Comic Culture in the year 2019.
That's right.
We're looking forward to a year of, oh my gosh, Chris, what are we going to do? We're going to have tons of guests.
Tons of guests.
Live recordings at cons.
Yep.
It's going to be a good year.
It will be a good year, absolutely. How many live recordings at cons? I think we're scheduled for, what, five?
I think five.
Yeah.
I think five. And if we hit four of them, I'll be happy.
I agree. That'll be good.
Chris, we're going to do what we always do, and we're going to bring the news to the people.
Bring in the news to the people, to
and
the peeps.
We're going to inform them on everything that's going on in the world of pop culture, comic book culture, thus the title of the show.
Well, we really should talk about comics if we're going to have a show called Comic Culture.
I agree.
All right.
So we start every show with Chris visiting the local comic book shop's New This Week rack. Chris has a look. He has a few that he likes, and then he pulls them out and tells us about them. But this week's New This Week rack is brought to us by a brand new sponsor, Chris. I'm very excited.
Oh, excellent.
It's called Deluze.
Deluze.
VSOP Club Soda.
All right.
From a region of France called Deluze.
Oh, very nice. I like it. All right.
And we'll welcome them on board, and they were good enough to send us a couple cans of the bubbly.
Oh, well, that's very nice of them.
And it's wonderful stuff.
All right. Well, listen, let's get right into it. And the first book I want to talk about is The Curse of Brimstone by DC. Now, this is one of those books that...
Hey, wait a minute, Chris. Was Brimstone a wrestler?
I think maybe. I know Tombstone, but no.
Oh, I'm thinking Tombstone?
Tombstone? No, maybe. Wait. The Undertaker.
Didn't we interview a guy from New York about 8 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't he Brimstone?
I think you're right. I think he was Brimstone, yeah.
Hey, Brimstone, if you're still listening.
Hey, there's a comic about you now.
Yeah, there's apparently a comic about you now. Drop us a line.
Well, listen, so this is. Remember a while ago, I'd say probably about 12 months ago or 10 months ago, something like that, we talked about a line of DC comics that were coming out that was sort of like, it was like a whole brand new era in comics. There was the Terrifics and...
They were like the Marvel knockoffs.
Like Marvel knockoffs, yeah. Kind of things. Well, this was one of their titles. I don't really know what the knockoff was there. I don't remember. Maybe it was just a... what do you call it? I think it was like a Ghost Rider type thing.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, it's still going strong. So we've got The Curse of Brimstone number 10 comes out today.
Wow, it's up to number 10 already. Oh, that's fantastic. The cover has kind of a Spawn / Ghost Rider
feel. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yes, it does. Hey, The Curse of Brimstone number 10 is at your local comic book shop.
All right, next up we've got... there's a lot of number ones out this week, so I'm gonna go with Young Justice, and this is of course Brian Michael Bendis's. He's writing
your favorite writer.
My favorite writer.
Hey, wait.
Never mind. Yeah, anyways.
Hey, listen, let's stay positive.
Stay positive.
Stay on target, stay positive.
You know what? You know what he's really good at?
Let's help the local comic book shop sell comics.
You know what he's really good at? Brian Michael Bendis is really, really good at...
writing comics?
Well, sure. Some people may think that.
Okay.
But he's really good at taking older characters and rejuvenating them. Like, he did that with Night Nurse, remember?
Yes, I remember.
And although he did that kind of with Luke Cage, even though he didn't really need it. But he's really good at that kind of stuff. Well, you can see in the pages of this issue today, he's actually rekindling, maybe bringing about again. I don't know what you want to call it.
Rekindling
Gem World. Do you remember there was a series of comics called Amethyst Princess of Gem World?
I'm trying to forget those. Chris.
Well, he's bringing it all back.
You know why I don't like those? They may be the cause of my bad lower back. Because I even take them to shows, and I always bring them back.
I'm pretty sure I also had to take them with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to spoil it too much, but there's a lot of other stuff going on in this one. That there's appearances. There's appearances going on here. There's, you know, it's a whole new kind of Young Justice here. Yeah.
Well, don't spoil it.
Okay, I'm not going to spoil it. There's lots of stuff going on here, so I don't want to talk about it too much.
It's
but
a busy book.
It is a very busy book. Listen, Young Justice number one with the hefty $4.99 price tag today.
Yeah, but it's pretty meaty. It's got a lot of book to it.
Yeah,
a lot of book to it. Baby Got Book. It is Young Justice number one. It's called Wonder Comics. And it's available at your local comic book shop today.
All right, next up we've got Captain Marvel number one. Now, interestingly enough...
is that the kind of movie-related Captain Marvel?
This is, in fact, the movie-related Captain Marvel, the one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in a lot of the Marvel books, what they're doing is... a lot of them do have a sort of a black banner across the top of the book, on the front of the book. And if they don't, a lot of them also have the first couple pages are completely black. And then I think it's like on the fourth page, there's a little tribute to Stan Lee.
Well, that's wonderful.
So we didn't get a chance. This actually started, it's been going on for a couple weeks now. We didn't get a chance to really talk about it because we were off on Christmas holidays. But it has been going on for a little bit. But this is, now that we're here, we can finally talk about the fact that Marvel and apparently DC is going to be doing it in future issues as well. But they're really paying tribute to Stan Lee as well.
Is DC going to do it to Stan Lee or Julia Schwartz?
No, they're doing one to Stan Lee.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
for all the work he's done for them.
Well, you know, I think for just
promoting
comics in general, right? Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Who knows where DC would be without Fantastic Four, right?
Yeah, DC can't think like that. They're
but you know, that's okay. That's fair enough.
Where would FF be without DC?
Well,
they wouldn't be.
It's a great point. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying tribute to the legend, Stan the Man.
Hey, you down with old DC? Yeah, you know me.
Hey, you know DC? Yeah, you know me. Listen, so anyways, this is, if you're interested in Captain Marvel, the character, this is a great jumping on point. Just a little bit of a recap of what's going on with her. That's Captain Marvel number one out today.
That looks wonderful, Chris. It's a good-looking book.
Good-looking book.
I like the book. It's a good-looking book, and it's available at your local comic book shop. Amanda Connor cover, looking good.
All right. Next up, we've got Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number one. So it's another number one out today. So we got Young Justice out, Captain Marvel. There's actually a bunch of other ones. I know there's a Jango Fett, rather.
Wow. Slash investor.
Lots of stuff going on.
We're going to have a field day today.
So now we've got Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number one. And so this is, you know, all about, you know, I think it's meant to be sort of a new standalone Spider-Man comic that, you know, if you're not too in the know of Spider-Man, or you want to get away from all the other Spider-Verse type stuff, well, this is like another, a sort of on its own standalone story that you can buy into.
On its own standalone.
That's right.
Hey, Chris, I don't know if it was you and me talking about it on this show before all the holidays, and if it was, I've forgotten because there's been a lot of club soda between now and then. But I think we were talking about comic book characters.
Yep.
Right? And you know, and we were talking about the value of the old expensive comics and how Action Number One with the first appearance of Superman was the most expensive one up till now, and then Detective Number 27 with Batman has been the second most expensive one ever sold or something, and then the only other comic that joined the $1 million club was the 9.6 copy of Amazing Fantasy 15, the Spider-Man first appearance. And then we were talking, and again, I don't remember if it was on the show, so of the three, I always argued that Spider-Man is the purest comic book superhero.
Okay.
Superman, I'm going to be sacrilegious here and say, never really stuck. I mean, he obviously has
stuck. What are you talking about?
He obviously has stuck, but he's definitely not as popular as he was.
Right. Okay, that's fair, yeah.
Batman is as popular as he ever was, but Batman is, you know, everybody kind of slants him as a pulp character.
Right. He's darker.
And he's not a really superhero. He's smart, and he's got outfits and stuff. Accoutrements, as Daffy would say. Whereas Spidey is that sweet spot. It's the epitome. It's the apex of what a comic book character should be. By accident, by design, I don't know what.
Right.
Spidey is just, you know, at the top of the heap for me in terms of a comic book character.
Interesting. Well, you know, I've always loved Spidey. I guess, you know, but I also have a big, my big favorite is always been Captain America.
Captain America's good.
Right.
Yep.
But there's lots of favorites out there. And the staying power of Spidey, I think, is if you look at the purity of what the character is, I think I may have to agree with you on that. You look at, I mean,
even his design of his alter ego, attacks full head on the target market of comic books, young readers. And then of course you can write stories for adults in the comic format, but you know, the comic format was initially and the most successful in its approach to young readers,
right?
And comic and Spidey, Peter Parker slash, being that young kid that doesn't fit in and has all kinds of issues. It's a beautiful marriage, and like I said, they probably the kind of crowning jewel of what a comic book character can be.
Yep. I agree. I totally agree.
All right.
Listen, we got one more.
Hold on. I got to plug Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man number one.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Which is at your local comic book shop.
Okay. Hey, got one more book we got to talk about here, and this is interesting, especially after last night's speech to the masses. We have the Barack Panther versus the Tremendous Trump.
Whoa.
So
that is a little racially sensitive.
Well,
isn't it?
You know, it's I don't know if I want to call it racially sensitive, but it certainly is timely and politically sensitive anyways. So we've got the Barack Panther, obviously a play on Barack Obama, versus the Tremendous Trump, which is obviously a play on Donald Trump. The book is called Red Triumph. I'm not going to give away who actually wins in this
communist
book.
Communist subversion thing.
You know, you can read into anything you want here. But I'm not going
to... Let me ask you a question.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah.
If in the United States they had a three-term limit rather than two, would have Obama beat Trump?
I think so. Yeah,
so do
I think so.
Hands
for sure.
Down.
Yeah,
hands down.
I don't.
He was a very popular president.
But do you think that if they had a vote tomorrow, do you think Trump would get back in?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
He's so divisive that everybody that would vote for him would vote for him. That sounds so silly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Like it's I guess it depends on where, because the divisive line is so thick.
Yeah.
But it can move a little left and a little right. It depends on just where it's stuck right now, I guess.
Yeah. So. Well, this one's obviously it's a parody book. It's is by
what's the company?
Antarctic Press is the name.
Antarctic Press
is the name of the comic. The name of the comic company. And so, anyways, if you're interested in buying, political parodies and that kind of stuff, Barack Panther versus the Tremendous Trump is. here today.
So this is my investing tip
yeah.
of the week.
Yeah, you think that's the
you
one?
Pick one of these up, and you go and you get it, Signature Series
yeah.
by Barack Obama and Donald Trump. And then you're good as gold.
Yeah, I will agree with you on that. Uh-huh. I will agree with you on that. Listen.
Hey, that's Chris has picked a few of the New This Week books that are hitting your local comic book shops. New This Week stand. We encourage everybody to go in and peruse the New This Week.
All right, let's have a quick musical interlude, and we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about comics and what's been going on in the comic book universe and all kinds of fun stuff. Let's go with here's one we haven't played in a long time. This is Magneto and the Titanium Man.
Sounds of Wings.
All right.
I love that, Chris. Excellent, excellent intro segue. I wanted to say into industry news. Industry news brought to us by Deleuze. VSOP Club Soda, the fine, fine club soda from France. He's the new kid on the block.
He really is. We haven't had a sponsor like this before.
No, and we're happy to have them. Chris, so let's start with this cultural phenomenon.
Beep, 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 beep. Oh, sorry, what?
I was doing the phenomenon thing.
Oh, phenomenon.
Beep, 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 beep.
Phenomenon. Phenomenon.
Hey, this cultural phenomenon that is Aquaman.
Aquaman.
So who would have thought? Who would have guessed? Who could have foreseen this?
Not this guy.
Not this guy either.
But you know what?
I thought it would tank, as in, you know, the dunk tank that, you know, the guy gets dropped into the water.
Yeah.
So, but I'm happy to report that I'm happy that it's been a successful movie.
Very successful. Mm-hmm. Extremely successful, actually. And what is it? What is the total now at? It's at like
domestically 260 million as of this just past weekend.
Right.
But worldwide, it's at 940 million.
That's crazy.
It's going to hit $1 billion.
Yeah, I never would have saw this coming from Aquaman.
Yeah.
You know, so I finally saw it over the holidays. Actually, I ended up taking my nieces to go see it.
Uh-huh.
And it's okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't blown away
so
by
why,
it.
So why are people going to it then?
I don't
if it's
know.
It's just okay.
I think, okay.
Why are people going?
Well, the only thing I can think of is that, for one, it's Jason Momoa. There's a lot.
That cat can't do anything. I mean,
he doesn't need to do anything.
No, but he was buff in Conan, and he was buff in a couple.
People
other
didn't
things.
Know who he was before when Conan came out, because Game of Thrones wasn't around then, and you know.
Oh, you think it's Game of Thrones?
For sure. Yeah. For sure, Game of Thrones, and then
because Momoa was Conan, and it's like wow.
Absolutely,
wah.
I. Jason, I'm not gonna tell you what I heard in the audience when he came on the screen.
I'm not gonna tell you. Oh.
So he's...
There's a lot of oohs and ahs.
A lot of oohs and ahs. Uh-huh. Very popular actor. The only thing I can think of is, besides him, the story is okay. Right. It's not great.
Right.
The special effects are good.
Right.
They're better than good.
They're great.
I don't want to say great.
They're underwater.
I know, but they're
it's hard. Underwater extreme, stuff is hard.
Yes. Uh-huh. They were great.
All right.
But they weren't. They didn't blow my mind.
Right.
Right? I didn't go like, wow, I can't believe I saw that. Uh-huh. Now, maybe that's part of it. Maybe that's the thing where, if it was really that good,
mm-hmm.
Maybe you just didn't really catch it because
right.
it's made to look so good.
Right, I get it.
That you're not going to really
I get it.
See it. But, the story was decent.
Were there mermaids in the movie?
Mara was in it, who's Aquaman's wife,
mm-hmm.
Played by Amber Heard.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a good job. They all did a really good job of the movie. What's his name? Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, whatever that guy. What's that guy's name?
Guy.
Oh, I can't remember
his name. Guy Smiley.
No, I can't. I'll think about it.
Dirk Bendedick.
No. Mm-hmm. All the actors were decent.
Okay.
I thought it was a little too jokey in some points.
Well, that's what they're going. Ever since that Thor switched over to humor.
I know, but they didn't... It's a different kind of humor. Like, uh-huh. you know... It's,
yeah, but hold on.
Okay.
So, my God, Chris. I mean, gag me with a spoon with DC's melodramatic crap.
I get it.
So, just the fact that DC is trying to be lighthearted and humorous is like a breath of fresh air for everybody saying, okay. Oh my God, thank God, let's just like drag me down and choke me Batman movie.
Here's the thing. But the problem is DC is now trying to do humor as if it was 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger movies.
Whoa, I used to see you.
Right, so like,
Hey, there's nothing wrong with 1980s Arnold Schwarzenegger humor.
Okay, when Aquaman bursts through a submarine and then does turns around and looks at the camera and says, "Permission to come aboard."
Oh, that's a little. Yeah, that might be a little offside.
It's a little much, right?
I hear you.
There's a couple times I laughed out loud. I'll admit.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to spoil it for anybody. But there are some laugh out loud moments. But on the whole, I just thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was great.
So you're not answering me. All you're doing is blabbing.
Okay.
You're
not answering questions. What's your question? Ask me.
Why is this succeeding?
I want to believe. The only other thing that I can think of, and mm-hmm. I've given this a little bit of thought, not a lot, but a little bit of thought, mm-hmm. is that it's very vanilla.
Vanilla.
It's very vanilla.
Plain.
It's very plain.
Plain. Generic.
There's no religion
Strawberry.
Involved. There's uh-huh. no like. There's. It involves all races.
Who's the villain?
I don't want to give it away.
Don't give it away.
It involves all races.
Uh-huh.
It's underwater, so we're not talking about nuclear armaments in the United States and Russia and all that. Like it's just very, it's very safe, right? It's underwater. It's not out in space.
21st century, 2019 appropriate.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
So it doesn't.
It's accessible.
It's not really going to offend anybody.
No offending.
No.
Oh, I got. That's a good
right?
thing. I got a great email.
Okay.
From
somebody that offended you?
No, but they were... Anyway, we'll get to that in a second, right after.
So I think that is part of the appeal to this.
Uh-huh.
I think the part of the appeal is that it's not offending anybody, really, because it's underwater. It's a make-believe scenario. It's not Star Wars. It's something different that people haven't seen before. We've seen outer space movies till the cows come home.
That's right.
But we haven't seen...
So we're taking the outer space movie and we're putting it under the sea.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But we haven't seen a whole lot of...
Was there a Charlie the Tuna cameo?
Sorry, Charlie. No.
Was there a...
If there was, I didn't see it.
Was there a Submariner cameo?
Nah, if there was, I didn't see it.
Ah, I see.
And I don't recall seeing The Little Mermaid either, or Moana.
Right.
Yeah.
Was there... I want to go there. But, So that's been doing very well.
Yes.
You know what the great part about comic book movies is, Chris?
What's that?
Remember, Chris, where the comic book movies were confined to the spring, early summer.
Yes, for sure.
May, June releases were the comic book movies. And then we had a little window to talk about the comic book movies.
Right.
Now, comic book movies, 12 months a year, 24/7, 365, rule the calendar at the box.
Let me ask you something.
Accident.
Are you getting sick of them yet?
No. Well, I haven't seen this one.
Okay.
I haven't seen The Panther yet either, but I'm getting there. Sure.
So, I should really ask somebody who actually watches movies. If they're getting sick of...
But my point, my case in point is, and we'll get back to Aquaman in a second, but this Spider-Man... Into the Spider-Verse.
Apparently it's amazing.
Yeah, and that's raking up $135 million domestic as well.
Did you see what I did there? I said that's amazing.
Oh, right.
Spider-Man.
Sorry,
I keep pitching them and you keep missing them.
That's right. Swing and a miss. Chris, this is, December, January. Great.
Yeah.
It's January. And you already have two of the top four movies are comic book movies, right?
Yeah, strictly comic books. I mean, and then if you really... But here's the interesting part about the top five here.
Uh-huh.
So you got Aquaman is number one.
Aquaman.
Uh-huh. And that is a tried and true comic book creation.
Pure.
Uh-huh. Number two, you have Escape Room, which is a horror movie.
Horror movie based on what the kids are going out to these escape rooms.
Based on them newfangled things that the kids are doing these days.
Escape rooms.
Yeah, escape rooms.
Uh-huh.
Number three is Mary Poppins Returns.
Right, a remake.
A remake of a hit, and apparently this is also a hit, but it's a remake of... Not even a remake, it's a sequel... But it's still it's a sequel of a tried and true.
So what they got? So JB sitting there with a whole ton of money.
Listen here, JB.
Look here, JB. I got this money here, and I don't want to invest in something new. So let's revisit something.
Right. That's exactly. What's going on, exactly. Right? Yeah. Which really, when you think about it, that's what all Disney's doing at all these days.
Yes, that's right.
All a rehash.
And lucky Disney, don't they have 100 almost years. Of pedigree, and canon, and beautiful stock of stuff.
Of stuff to take from.
That's right.
So, hey, you know what? So, I'm going to ask you, time out here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you haven't seen a whole lot of movies in your tenure, in your long in the tooth tenure.
That's right.
But if you were to take a Disney movie that has not been updated, remade, made for... live action or anything like that, what is the one thing that you would want to see done again that has not been done yet from Disney? So, would
Herbie
it be
the Love Bug?
Herbie, how did I know you were going to say that? I knew you were going to say
or
that.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Was that a Disney movie? I guess it probably was. I don't know.
It was. Herbie the Love Bug.
Herbie the Love Bug.
Now that marijuana is legalized. In Canada.
Yeah.
Maybe Fantasia.
Oh, there you go.
Right, so re-update Fantasia for the stoners.
Nice. I think I want to see if they're going to do Mary Poppins Returns, I want to see a remake of Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Hello.
That was my favorite
I've
as a kid.
I've seen that lately, but that was wrong channel. Right.
Wrong channel.
Yeah.
Anyways,
It was good.
You can tell me about it later.
I will.
Number four was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So, again, tried and true comic book creation there. And number five is Bumblebee, which is a toy turned into movies.
Transformer.
Also done in comics.
Uh-huh.
So, really, you could almost say that four out of the five are tried and true...
Kind of pop culture.
Pop culture-y things.
Yeah, that kind of culture, right? Yeah, I get it. You're right. Hey, listen, it rules the world. And, Chris, going back... It's funny that you talked about how you found Aquaman appropriate
and unoffensive.
Right? Unoffensive. Because, You know my pal Jim down in Hollywood there. I get the emails.
Yes. How is Jim doing anyways?
Oh, he's fantastic. He's fantastic. He's laying low.
Yeah, yeah.
But he squeaks out a few emails to me every now and then. And he says, with all the turmoil now with the Trump presidency there and the age of this is the dawning
of the age of apocalypse.
Age of appropriateness. He's saying that there's a few movies that are almost they're filmed,
right?
But they're really tentative to release.
Oh, why is that?
Because of this age of appropriateness.
Age. This is the dawning of the age of appropriateness.
And he sent me a couple of, we can't show them on air, but he sent me a couple of trailers. I will go over them. One was called, they had one titled The Fast and Curious.
The Fast and Curious.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's a coming of age story of Barry Allen's exploring his sexuality.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they were not really sure.
Is that really appropriate?
I don't know.
Yeah. I can see why they wouldn't be sure about that one.
They have another one in the works called Apocalypse Next Week.
Oh, interesting.
It's a tense drama about a group of wannabe werewolves waiting for the next full moon.
Oh, I see. Right.
That has nothing to do with appropriateness,
it is appropriate because, if it was a movie about them waiting, maybe it's just like a parlor room movie where they're sitting around talking.
It's like a reality show of them just sitting around.
Oh, interesting. Like Big Brother, but with werewolves.
This one I found fascinating. They have one, it's filmed, it's in the can, as they call it.
Chris. Okay.
This was called Them versus the Mad Professor.
Versus the Mad Professor.
I'll say that again.
The
Mad Professor.
Okay.
It's an updated, enlightened version of He-Man in his battle against Jordan Peterson.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah,
all right.
That's all what right. that is.
Yeah. Sounds riveting.
Wow.
Can't wait to see that.
I got, what else do I got? I got, well, maybe I should end it right there.
Well, end it on a high note.
Yeah. I'm trying to look for one. Transylvania Station. Yeah, it's, this is actually a little offside. It's a transitioning vampire porno.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's, why not?
It's in the works.
Yeah, it's in the works.
What else do we have? We have, what the heck is this? Hold on here. Here it is. The Good, the Bad, and the You Can't Call Them That.
Oh.
It's the politically correct Western that doesn't offend.
Oh, well, ding, 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 ding. That is on the money. That is the ultimate of the age of appropriateness.
This is
the dawning of the age
Listen, Chris,
of...
Oh, sorry. I've got about three more, but based on how these last...
Please don't. You want to have some music playing? Sure, no problem.
Please do.
Am I not merciful? Oh boy. Okay, nice. Listen. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. And this one, this is another one that we haven't played in a long time. So let's go with this is The Return of the Phantom Stranger Tuesday Night Edition.
I love that one.
Shifted, long tail, through all the mountains.
love it, Chris. Love it. Chris, that was, you know...
painful.
You know, you want to start the new year off with a good bit.
Well, you know what? There's always next week.
There's always next week. Yeah. I love that. And speaking of next week, part deux of Industry News is brought to you by De Luz Club Soda.
Oh, that was see, now that was clever.
Yeah. the fine bottler of the bubbly from France, and we're happy to have them aboard.
All right, listen, I want to talk about this prediction list that you've handed me.
So hold on here. We're talking about comic books.
Talking about comic books.
We're talking about comic book movies that are coming out in 2000 and what's this year?
19.
Thank you.
19. This is Saigon. So that's hey, remember who sang that?
The same guys who sang Mr. Cairo.
Really?
I don't know. I'm just guessing.
It was Paul Hardcastle.
Was that?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, because you know what?
I would have guessed Boney M.
Rasputin. Okay.
Anyway, what were we talking about?
We were talking about this list.
Okay, well,
so listen, we have this list here. I don't know where you pulled this up, or if you made it up, I don't even know. But basically, there's a
Chris. I don't make stuff up.
Yeah. Well, predicting the highest grossing superhero movies of 2019.
Yeah, I found this actually, Chris, online. This guy that or a girl, I'm not sure, didn't say. That predicted, you know, the best superhero movies of the coming year. Now, they didn't base it on what's going to be the best movie. I think they based it on success financially.
Sure, sure.
So, coming in at number 9...
Right.
...would be the movie called The Joker.
Right. So, this is the Joaquin Phoenix one.
Uh-huh.
This is the sort of standalone Joker movie that DC is putting out. You know, I don't really like the way that
I heard that it's not part of, like,
it's got nothing to do with anything else.
Well, why would they do that?
And this is what I don't like about it.
Uh-huh.
It's not like...
Why blow the wad on a Joker movie?
It's a great question.
And then not have it attached to anything
yep.
else and set up, you know, the next Batman movie.
Unless they decide that, and they're sort of been throwing red herrings out at us.
Red herrings.
So uh-huh. you know, maybe they're trying to throw us off our game.
What's that mean?
They're trying to throw us off our game.
Okay.
So
you told me what it means, and then I asked you what it means.
It's fine. Okay. It's fine. I'm used to it.
Yes, sir. Okay.
So, I don't know. See, there are different theories around the Joker these days. And
right.
recently, they've come up with this notion that there's been different Jokers out there, which I don't like that.
I don't like it whatsoever.
I don't like it.
There's one Joker.
Mm-hmm. So, I think this is meant to be an alternate universe type Joker. What if the Joker was...
It's
blah,
like an Elseworlds movie.
Kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they're doing that with, like, it seems like they're just forgetting the whole notion. I think they realize they can't do what Marvel's doing.
Right.
Right? So, you know what?
Why can't they do what Marvel's doing? Whoa.
Because they've been bad at it.
But they just hit with Aquaman. Hey, hold on. Let's go back to, back it
beep,
up. Top.
Beep, boop, boop, boop. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Was there any Easter bunnies in Aquaman?
Okay, so... if you're listening and you don't want to know about the movie, just turn the volume down for half a second.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm going to say no. There was nothing. There was no appearances. There's no Batman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern.
That's so stupid.
Power Girl. No, but nobody that for no
so
for nothing.
Stupid that they couldn't set up the next movie in some way.
And this
through
is
that movie.
So here's the thing. I think that they're just foregoing the whole notion of continuity, and they're just going to
one-offs
plop out movies. As either one-offs and maybe reference them.
Why wouldn't you try to tap into the most successful movie approach in the history of movie approaches, which is what Disney Marvel
yeah.
did?
Because they tried it and failed miserably.
Okay, but... They didn't fail because of the connecting the movies. They failed because the movies are crap.
Okay, but
like, but the connecting part is still the common denominator that they need.
Yes, you're right.
Just make better movies.
I agree. I totally agree. And they could have added somebody in this one.
Nah.
They could have at least mentioned it.
No, I don't want to see it. See?
Well, all right. So, anyways. So this Joker one is. We'll see how it goes. Then we've got Hellboy. Now Hellboy is this is going to be a reboot. So the other one used
a
to
reboot.
Have well the other one had Ron Perlman in it,
it did.
And it had a very distinctive look to it with Guillermo del Toro doing the directing of it.
Right.
This one is now going to be with David Harbour from Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm.
He was the cop in that movie, in that show. He is now Hellboy, and it's going to be a different take on the character. It's going to look a little bit different. I've seen the trailer, and I don't know how. I don't know what to think of it. I don't think it looks that great. I think the Guillermo del Toro ones look better, but this is supposedly takes bigger inspiration from the comic than the other ones. But from what I've seen, I don't see it.
All right, so this website has Hellboy doing better than Joker. Do you agree with that?
No. I think Joker will do better than Hellboy, for sure.
Hellboy.
Yeah.
All right. So I saw this number 7.
Yep.
And I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah. Well, okay, so this goes way back.
How far you want to go back?
It goes way back.
Way back.
I'm talking like 2000.
Woo!
So 18 years ago, 19 years ago,
right?
Almost, they came out with Unbreakable.
I don't think I saw that.
With what's his name? What's his head?
Shyamalama Ding Dong.
No, Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis was in it, and now what's his name? Samuel L. Jackson was in that one as well. Now he played Mr. Glass, and Bruce Willis played.
I didn't see it, but I remember that's something about.
So Bruce Willis played a guy that you know,
the person couldn't be broken.
He couldn't be broken. Never got sick. Never got nothing. Right.
Yeah. And who was that?
Was Bruce Willis?
Oh, it was Bruce Willis.
Samuel L. was Mr. Glass, who had everything broken all the time.
Right. Okay.
His bones had a specific kind of disease that he was always in pain and.
Mm-hmm.
But then a couple years ago, they came out with a movie called Split.
Right.
With, I can't remember his name now.
Samuel L. Jackson?
No. The guy that
Bruce Willis.
No, the guy that played, you won't know it, but the guy that he played actually, Mr. Professor Xavier
in the reboots of the new movies. Okay,
can't remember his, I can't remember his name. Anyways, so he was in Split. And now they've gone ahead and decided that this is going to be. So what they're doing is they're actually doing what Marvel was doing, which DC tried to do, and they're creating an M. Night Shyamalan universe.
Oh.
So now they're saying that Glass is also part of this trilogy, this new movie, with Split and Unbreakable, because Bruce Willis and...
Well, how was Split related to Glass?
So Split...
Related to...
it's not related to
Unbreakable.
Not that we knew of.
Uh-huh.
But now they're saying that Split... So Split is this guy that has multiple personalities.
Right.
And now Glass and Bruce... So M. Night Shyamalan is going to bring together Samuel L. Jackson and Bruce Willis and this other guy whose name escapes
me. Right.
All together in one movie. Because this basically they're saying this guy that has a split personality and he can have powers, sort of, based on that. Now with... Mr. Glass is going to be like the mastermind, the evil mastermind. Does that make sense?
It does. That is cool.
It's interesting.
I kind of like that.
It's interesting.
That is something I can kind of.
It's different. It's different. I like it because it's different. I don't know how well it's going to do, but it certainly is different. I'm looking forward to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds exciting. So that's Glass.
Yes.
And that's coming out this year. So I guess I should probably check out the other two first, kind of get yourself.
If you haven't seen them, you probably should.
Before you get yourself all thing. Okay, so New Mutants, the comic book property, is coming out with a movie as well.
Year. I didn't know. I thought they were coming out with a TV series. I didn't realize this was going to be a movie.
Oh.
But I guess now that Fox is basically having to give up the ghost with the X-Men franchise, they're pushing one last movie out, right?
Right. Right. And that's called New Mutants. And the thing I found interesting about this is the way I'm reading it is they're going to do they're going to make it like a horror movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So,
okay.
It says here something about being held in a secret facility against their will. A superhero horror hybrid.
Oh,
is what they're
interesting.
Looking for on this one.
Well, so I could see that happening.
Trying to make the film scarier.
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that happening. Interesting. And then,
well, which is kind of cool because, you know, when you think about it, it's been 10 solid years of like heavy duty high end Marvel movies and the whole superhero genre succeeding. It's been longer than that since the first Spider-Man and all that stuff.
Totally.
Really, since
X-Men.
The first Superman in 78. Really,
yeah, true enough. Yeah.
But now there's like superhero properties that are trying to combine genres, like superhero/slash horror. It's kind of exciting.
Well, I think that's the only thing you can do now, because I think
to freshen things up.
You have to freshen things up a little bit, because a straight superhero genre really is an action movie, right? And you have to add something. I mean, and I like it when they kind of mix things up a little bit.
Or it can be sci-fi. Sci-fi is good.
It can be sci-fi. I mean,
like Avengers is kind of sci-fi.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. And we saw the second Captain America, the Winter Soldier, was sort of an espionage type
of
thing.
Yeah, you're right.
So it's good when they mix things up a bit.
Yeah, so a horror slant on a superhero thing would be something fresh, definitely.
Yeah.
And when you think about it, Chris, horror movies, young people like
right.
young people
yes,
gravitate
yes, it's
to
true.
Horror movies.
It's true.
A New Mutants has always been like a young
yep.
people superhero team
yep.
as well.
So if they do it right, I could actually see it doing very well.
Good marriage. Yeah. All right. Speaking of the X-Men, they're also coming out with this, The Dark Phoenix.
I do want to see this. Now, I saw the last X-Men movie, which was terrible,
uh-huh.
X-Men Apocalypse, which I just thought was just awful. But you know what? I think Dark Phoenix could be good. But my problem with this movie is that it's going to be a... Well, who cares? Because if all the X-Men characters are going to go to Disney, are they really going to keep the same actors and the same plot lines?
It shouldn't be about the actors. It should be about...
Are they going to keep the same plot lines, or are they just going to reboot it all anyways?
Yeah,
so, you know, it's a wah-wah-wah, who cares?
The thing with the Dark Phoenix is, and this is what... Okay. This is... A direct kind of response, not even a response, an opinion,
yeah.
whatever I'm about to say, not even sure, Guardians of the Galaxy was a comic that was crap, not crap, it wasn't crap, but
a D-lister.
There was no fans.
Phew.
And it came out and it was like the mega hit movie.
Yep.
Whereas, you know, the Dark Phoenix saga is almost a religious experience for comic book fans.
100%.
So, the Dark Phoenix saga had this massive, massive, for comic book numbers,
yep.
comic book reader numbers, cult following of X-Men fans that think it's one of the best X-Men stories ever told.
Yeah.
But when you think about the number of Dark Phoenix saga core fans of the comic book, is it enough to make a dent in the box office? I'm going to probably say no.
I'm going to say no.
Right?
I'm going to say
because,
no.
Because, you know, it's vice versa that matters. It's whether it touches the chord, touches the nerve, of just the populace in general. And you don't need to be a great comic book. You don't need to be an iconic comic book storyline to work at
cinema. No, not at all.
You know what
in
I mean?
In fact, it seems like it's almost the opposite
that's what
of
I'm saying.
Happening.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what worries me about the Dark Phoenix saga, because us as comic book fans go, oh, like the Dark Phoenix saga storyline.
Yep.
It's like, and we have Miller's Elektra storyline is what Daredevil did.
Right.
And that didn't do that well.
No, I know.
Right?
I know.
You know what I mean? So.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we've got Shazam.
Shazam. I don't like it.
I think it looks terrible.
Shazam is going to end up at number 9 on this 1-9 list.
I think, easily. I think it looks terrible. I know people like the actor who apparently was in that show, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't a huge fan of that show. I saw a couple episodes and that was okay.
Yep.
But I've seen the trailer for Shazam and I just think it looks terrible. I think it looks... you know, they've got a light in his chest that has the giant, you know, lightning bolt thing, and it just, you know what it looks like? It looks like a made-for-TV movie that's has a bigger budget.
Right. And you know what it looks like, too? It looks like DC Warner is going, hey, Aquaman worked and nobody thought it would.
Yeah.
Let's cross our fingers and maybe Shazam.
Oh, man.
But you know what? Lightning doesn't strike twice.
No, not usually.
You get that?
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I get it. Shazam!
Shazam! Well, hey, let's hope for the best. I'm actually, like, hold on here, Chris. Okay, well, we have the Joker.
Yeah.
And then we have Shazam.
Yeah.
Okay, and those are the two DC entries on this list.
Right.
And so, you know, you kind of want both of them to do well.
Isn't, Wonder Woman was pushed back to 2020, right? Okay.
Yeah. So, we'll see. We'll see. Well, let's reserve judgment on Shazam.
Yep. And then we have Spider-Man Far From Home,
uh-huh.
which, you know...
Now, that's like a regular Spider-Man movie, right?
Right.
Like not this Spider-Verse thing.
No, it's cartoon. It's not animated. It's a regular. Yeah. It's Tom Holland.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know. I have no judgment about this because I keep on hearing conflicting stories about what's happening in there. I hear one story that says that Mysterio is the bad guy. Then I hear another story that says Mysterio is actually, you know, going to be helping Spidey out against mm-hmm. something else that we don't know
the
about
elementals.
Yet. The elementals, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't know what it's... I have no idea. Which, if it is the elementals, it would tie into the possibility, because I did hear that they would want to make an elementals movie.
Right.
In part of their phase four.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't have enough information.
Well, the problem with Spider-Man, per se, is that it's almost like the problem with Batman, but I think it's even worse. Is that you can make two films a year.
Yeah.
For Spider-Man.
Oh, like, for
and
sure.
Still keep it fresh. There's just so many great Spider-Man already established canon villains, already established canon plot lines that could be easily made into movies because they worked as a, you know, sequential art.
If they had to do a plot line that is one of your favorites from one of the Spider-Man storylines, which one would you want to see made into a movie?
Oh, geez. It wouldn't be Clone Wars, that's for sure.
No.
I don't know. I remember, like, when as a kid reading the... What was it, like, the... I forget what they were. They were... I love the Hulk... The two-part Hulk thing where he fights him in Montreal.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably like the Thinker.
Yeah.
I like that storyline too. With the that was the early Spidey. That was before. The drug issues were kind of cool. I liked reading them.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of Spidey storylines I liked. I liked... I like the McFarlane stuff when it was coming out.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
But Venom is already there. But Craven. Craven.
That would be mine. Craven, I would love to see them do a storyline based on Craven's last time.
Mm-hmm. You know, another one I wouldn't want them to do was Old Man Spidey.
Yeah.
That was terrible. That was one of the worst ones ever. You know?
I don't want to see, you know, like you say, I don't want to see any of that stuff. Or like as you said, the Clone Saga stuff.
Yeah, that wasn't,
you know,
that good.
I don't want to see any of that.
And the thing with Spidey is, really, you know, back when I was a youngster reading Spidey, most of them were standalone stories.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them were standalone stories. It's only later that Spidey started producing, you know, the graphic novels.
Yeah.
What's the big 14-parter that everybody wants? The
Brand New Day?
No. The big... with is it Venom? Maximum Carnage.
Oh, Maximum Carnage. Right.
It's like an epic
telling
of over 14 issues. But I don't know. I like they have to be bite sized. I think with Spidey, okay, I'm gonna say this.
Okay, what are you gonna say?
Spidey movies.
Okay.
And Spidey is one of the ones that you can do this. And I think Batman is another one that you can do this.
Okay.
Is you can do more movies but make them less all-encompassing, and you can tackle like specific episodes.
Well,
like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Whereas in Avengers, it's like a because it's so grandiose, and you got to bring in a whole bunch of things in, and you got to cross over a whole bunch of things. You can, with Spidey, you can approach it as that old one-off story.
Oh, 100%. Right? And I wish they would do more of that, because right. it seems like all
too often... I hope they do that in this film.
It seems to all too often that they try to, you know, hey, you know what characters I love? I love Mysterio, and I love Rhino, and I love Kraven, and I love Carnage.
In there, right.
Let's get them all in there.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you don't need to do that. Just tell mm-hmm. one really good story.
Right.
Right?
Right. But the thing is, everybody's in a hurry.
I know.
Because you can only make one every 3 years, and that's why they should make one, okay, at least every year.
With Spidey, I think you could, because, you know, with Spidey...
Like, it's your annual Spidey movie.
And I think you could do that, and you can have them all be a little bit different. Like,
right.
you can have a Spidey in space. You can mm-hmm. have a Spidey, yeah. you know, darker one.
Hell's Kitchen.
You can have all different types of Spidey, so they're all going to be slightly different,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, still Spidey. So I think that's a great idea.
And what would be cool is you call them number one, number two, number three.
Yeah.
Just like a comic.
Yeah.
You know, Spidey movie one, movie two, movie three, and you have it like come out, I don't know, let's pick a date, like November of every year.
Right.
You
know? First weekend of November every year. Yeah.
It's like, you know, the next installment of Spidey.
Yeah.
You treat it just like a comic.
I love it.
All right, Chris, what else we have?
Okay, we only got a couple minutes left here.
Jeez.
Captain Marvel, of course, coming out soon.
And I'm pumped
a lot. Oh, I think everybody's pumped about that. Yeah. I can't wait to see it. I think it looks fantastic. You know, it's I don't know what I'm more excited about, whether it's Captain Marvel being on the big screen, whether it's seeing, you know, I'm sure we're gonna find out something about Avengers Endgame,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Seeing the 1990s, because that's what it's supposed to be about.
Yeah.
There's just so much about this movie that I'm excited about, and I don't know what I'm most excited about.
Right on. And then tapping into the 90s is really good for the 30 somethings that are
absolutely
gonna watch this
movie.
And then okay, let's we don't have much time. Obviously, the number one movie this year is going to be Endgame.
Yeah,
it is ridiculous, Chris. The buzz, it is nonstop daily chatter with speculation on how the thing's going to be resolved.
Yeah,
it's the most exciting thing on the internet.
It really is.
Is the spec and the postulating theories on what's happening with Avengers? It's like a pastime.
Yeah.
Dissecting and reading through and believing or unbelieving or coming up with your own theory.
I wonder if you can bet on it. I wonder if there's like Vegas odds of some kind out there.
It is just wonderful.
It's going to be great.
It's an exciting time. Avengers Endgame will be the biggest movie of the year in 2019 for sure.
I think so.
And let's just hope it helps the local comic book shop. Chris, that's all the time we have for this show, Comic Culture, produced and engineered by Chris Owen. We're at 93.3 CFMU. McMaster's award-winning radio station. We're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. And please go out and support your local comic book retailer.
And have yourself a great day.